Sasageyo, everyone.
Sasageyo.
Oh my god.
Sasageyo.
And welcome to the Otaku Host Club podcast. It's Wednesday and it is another Road to Paradise. Today we're talking about The Door of Hope, or episode 62, or slash the third episode of the final season of Attack on Titan. Thanks for joining us. You know, we got Dan and Jeff here as well.
Hello.
Hello there.
I'm back in Baltimore.
Yes, we're so excited. We're going to get some Korean barbecue, hopefully.
Hell yeah. Going to have a raging New Year's party.
Yeah, I want some grilled meat, baby.
No grilled vegan sausage?
No, only the death and murder. Yeah, only the blood.
So this episode of Attack on Titan is all about Reiner.
Yeah, I give this episode a 10 out of 10.
Oh my god.
I thought it was fucking great. I loved it. And I actually, I have some interesting things to bring up when we get around to them.
Okay, cool. I hope somebody does, because I did not like this episode. Like, what the fuck?
You did not like it.
What no,
did you
not like I don't give a shit about Reiner's backstory. I know he's fucking crazy. I don't need to see all of this flashback. Like, can we get to the war, please? Can we get to paradise? Like, what's happening? Like, where are my boys at? Like, I'm like,
you're growing impatient there.
I am so impatient because I have literally waited since 2013 for this to be fucking over. And they are really drawing it out. At least that's what I feel. I feel like they're really drawing this out. Especially because, okay, you guys, it's like 16 episodes. So like, where is it going?
It's not like Shonen Jump drawing out, like Dragon Ball.
I don't think this is dragged out.
It's like the Kenny thing all over again. They like I know we've been with Reiner for a bit now, but it's like when they introduce Kenny and Kenny's backstory to drive the plot point to a certain point, I'm just like, okay, I get it, but like, let's go.
Yeah. I guess that's an interesting parallel, and I understand why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I don't, because Reiner's a central character to the story. It's not like he's you know, Kenny, who's just randomly like, oh, by the way, did you know Levi used to live with this guy named Kenny? You know, that Reiner's been there from early on. And I think the development of him as a character is it's a big element of the story.
Yeah, but like, we've seen 3 seasons of him developing. Do I really need to see any more? Like,
well, I don't know. I really like this stuff.
Okay.
And I think it helps to solidify, like, we know that Reiner has undergone this great cognitive dissonance from having to be a double agent on Paradise Island, you know, on the other side of the walls. And I think seeing his backstory and seeing how his backstory so closely parallels his current situation helps to, yeah, to mold this this really interesting, yeah, it's like not exactly like a character study, but it helps to mold a really interesting emotional complexity to Reiner that I find really appealing. And I think this hits its climax with Reiner's attempted suicide, which I was disappointed in, because the manga has a specific panel that shows him, and maybe this is just my own like portrayal of suicide in media just always tends to resonate with me, but there's a specific panel where you see this like kind of upward facing shot of Reiner. It's like from the perspective of his feet facing upwards, and you see like Reiner with the gun in his mouth as he's sitting on the chair. And I think that shot is super iconic and powerful. And apparently Isayama, the author, does as well, because I read on the internet today that the author has this panel hanging on his wall. It's like his representative picture of Reiner is, you know, Reiner doing the suicide attempt. But they did not show that shot in this anime adaptation. And I'm going to guess that's because it's arguably too graphic to be on television. It's a bit heavy.
Do you know the manga chapters that they adapted for this episode?
I do not know the chapters numbers off the top of my head, but I can look them up real quick. Slash, I probably should have figured that out because you guys did ask me to figure that out.
All right, so in this episode, The Door of Hope, we start off, we first get a flashback of Reiner and her, and his mother, rather, discussing the fact that his father is Marleyan. And to his surprise, he's like, oh, shit, like, I don't know, my dad was full-blood Marleyan. That's news to me, but as being a young child, I guess that's pretty shocking, right? And then after that, we cut to the candidates playing outside while Reiner is bullied by Porco for not having anything special. He doesn't have any special abilities, basically. Mm-hmm. And in the background, you have Annie killing a grasshopper.
Very violently.
Which I think is a nod to her stepping on the scouts mm-hmm. in the first few seasons. Mm-hmm. Like her blatant disregard for human or any life, really. Mm-hmm. I think she's, what's the word, she's not psychotic,
she's a little bit of a sociopath
yeah. is the word. Yeah,
she's a yandere, if you will.
We jump to finally getting to see who was eaten by Ymir, this character Porco, which is Galliard's brother. Right. They kind of like twins.
Mm, different hair color.
Yeah, different hair color. But I was a little confused on this part. I was like, who the fuck is who? Like, I'm.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because they like specifically go into detail of which person is which and which Titan they inherited, which I thought was just like, I get that they're explaining, they're like trying to put these characters into like, into the Titans so that in the scenes following, like, you know who is what and you can kind of follow along. But I also didn't like that part either. I'm like, damn, okay, we get it. I know who these Titans are. Like, let's go.
Yeah, but I do think that this is the first time, if I remember correctly, this is the first time that they so explicitly and straightforwardly state what each of these Titans are and what their capabilities are. Mm-hmm. It's true that we have surmise that from watching the show, from context, but yeah, it's the first time they just like come out and spell it out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the credits, I really enjoyed this. It was like an opening to a movie or something, or like a Godzilla movie. Like, to your point, Dan, it's like they're explaining each person's power. It's sort of recaps. Assuming you've seen it all, but let's say you didn't see any of this, then you kind of know who is who has a super, like, what person has a superpower and how they use it. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, when you think back at My Hero Academia, almost every episode they would tell you, this is this person's name, and this is their ability.
Mm-hmm. This is their quirk, and they're this tall, and this is their blood type. Yeah. I hate that.
Okay.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, that's probably the most action you get to see is them, you know, fighting in the war in this episode compared to the first episode. Mm-hmm. Like, the second episode was just mainly dialogue, but this one's kind of, you get a...
They brought some Titans back. You get to see a little bit of Titans in this one.
And almost like an atomic explosion of Berthold.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
And I also thought that scene was interesting because one of the Marleyan generals asks if it is appropriate for children to be doing these heavy-handed military efforts and spy mm-hmm. efforts, which, you know, the other general with him is like, dude, these guys just obliterated an entire country without difficulty. So, like, why the fuck wouldn't we have them do these things? Yeah,
they're literally Titans. Yeah. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, but
That's the reason why we had them turn into Titans.
I thought it was interesting because so much anime just takes for given that you can have, you know, like, 12-year-olds piloting giant robots or committing these, you know, war atrocities or whatever. And nobody ever bats an eye about it. They, like... Mm-hmm. kind of think twice about it in Neon Genesis Evangelion, but that's really about it. Mm-hmm. Attack on, at least in Attack on Titan, there is somebody on the screen at one point yeah, that says, wait, isn't it kind of weird to have children doing these things? this is largely adapting chapters 96 and 97 of the manga with a little bit of prior chapters mixed in. I think they've switched the pacing or the kind of order of storytelling to make it
so they're fit into
the episodes better.
Oh, so they're adapting basically two chapters each episode.
Yes, yes, okay. They're still on that tempo, yeah.
Okay. And if they adapted two chapters each episode, does that equal 16 episodes?
No.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. I think they're going to do a part two, which is going to
Yeah, they must. Yeah, they're going to do something.
That's so annoying to me. Just like say it's part one right now. Just tell me it's part one. Because the whole time I'm like, can you get the shit going? Like, let's go. It's 16 episodes.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So yeah, they've made it across the water. Now they're on Paradise. And you get to see Amir basically come out of nowhere in the background. They're all sitting around the campfire, and then Ymir pops up, eats Porco, and then they go running off, you know, to escape. And Annie kicks the shit out of Reiner.
Oh my god, yes.
Which is kind of fucked up, because it's like Berthold's just standing there watching.
Reiner's literally unrecognizable.
Yeah. I guess she knows that whole just heal back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we watch from Berthold's perspective. They decide to stay. They want to retreat. Annie wants to retreat, and Reiner's like, "No, fuck that. We're already here. We might as well continue the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Keep moving forward." So they attack the wall, and then you finally get to see from their perspective how the wall comes down, and then. Yeah, and then you watch Berthold's, from Berthold's perspective, you see Jaeger's wife, I can't remember her name, Smiley Titan, will run past him, and of course, she eats Eren's mother. But yeah, I really enjoyed that part, because like you get to see a full circle,
mm-hmm.
you
know? Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, did the mangaka come up with this after the fact, or was it all planned from along? You know, like, to me, I would guess that he didn't. I think he was like, well, we got to connect the dots somehow.
I'm slowly gaining more faith in the author, in Isayama, and I'm more willing to believe now that Attack on Titan actually is a subtly, you know, constructed and methodically connected story, because there's and one of the ways that this episode circles back in that way is Reiner and Berthold's origin story. You know, all the way back in season one, they tell Eren and Amir that they were from this little town and they're the only ones that survived, and they describe this whole situation of hearing the rumbling and the horses or the cattle are kind of geeking out and getting excited. And then we see in this episode that they stole that story from the old man that hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So that's what also I wanted to figure out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I remember this man. But I don't remember what he said. I guess I just assumed that he said these things.
Damn, yeah. Okay. That's his story that he told, Reiner, Berthold, and Annie, and then Berthold kind of steals it for their origin story, and that puts a new perspective on Reiner's reaction to when Berthold is saying that, because in season one, you know we see Reiner being like, dude, what are you doing? You know, just shut up. And in season one, that feels like, why are you dredging up these old memories? You know, like it's too emotional. You know, I don't want to talk about this. It's traumatic. By season four, this is happening. And now it's more clear that Reiner's like, dude, why are you just stealing this guy's story? You're like, you know, don't just keep the more lies you tell, the harder it's going to be to keep everything straight. We don't need to volunteer this information, you know, like just chill. Mm. And I think this episode does a lot. I mean, clearly that's a big part of this episode, is trying to reframe the parts, prior parts of the story. You know, now we see it from the perspective of Reiner, have knowing full well the proper context, both in Reiner's life and in the larger politics and situation of the world. And yeah, it makes all these scenes quite a bit more different. Now, I do think I'm going to do the actually in the manga as I push up my glasses. And this is something that I read on the internet. It was not something I remembered off the top of my head. But
is it spoilers?
No. It's just about what this particular episode. In the manga, the scenes of Reiner and Berthold breaking the wall have a bit more going on. You know, we see Annie calling, in the manga, we see Annie calling the pure Titans to come and rush through the hole in the wall. And we see Bertholdt's reaction to kicking the hole in the wall, and that he's like visibly distraught that he is, you know, kind of spelled the doom to all these people, to all these individuals on the ground. And yeah, they did away with these parts. I mean, I have to assume because there's only so much screen time, and they were just deemed not particularly necessary to the story. But it does beg the question, did they literally reuse animation from season one in these scenes? Because that was something that we discussed in our watch party yesterday.
I don't think they did. I think they reanimated it, because a lot of it is in CG.
Yeah, because I do feel like some of the camera angles are a little bit different. Like, I don't remember the specific front shot of Reiner getting ready to charge. That was, I don't think we had that specific shot in season one.
Yeah, and that was CG. You could tell that one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You can kind of see Berthold looking down, like shock on his face. Maybe, it does feel like there was something missing. Like, what led up to that? Like, what was their discussion or plan before that? Are they just like, let's just do it, you know? And now that I know that they were just kids, I guess I could have figured that out. But the fact that they're just kids and these huge titans that look like adults, it kind of really changes the weight of it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't really know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's telling them to do what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah. That's exactly, you know, when Reiner does the big reveal on the wall in season two, makes that exact point verbatim. We were just kids. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. And they murdered so many people because of it.
Yeah. And you know, it's,
I think that's why I just like don't brutal. Resonate with the Reiner stuff, because I don't like Reiner or Berthold as characters. Like, I just don't, I don't like them. to me, they're the villains, and I'm just like, I don't care. You have no redeeming qualities.
You really think they're the villains?
Yeah, absolutely. Because in season one, you get introduced to Eren and Mikasa and, what's the other one's name?
Armin,
yeah. It's because they're Eren and Armin. No, I fucking love Armin. I always forget his name, though. And then there's Erwin, you know? So, like, there's a lot of E's and A's happening. But because you get introduced to those characters first, and I kind of, like, attach myself to those characters first when you find out that Berthold and Reiner are Titans and they aren't actually on their side, or like they're half on their side, but like, you know, they're playing this like double agent situation. I just like don't have any sympathy after that, you know, because like these kids didn't ask for that.
That's cold. Yeah, I on the one hand, I understand what you mean, because they've commit these atrocities and, you know, directly like, led to so much death and destruction.
Yeah, lives and I know ruined. Like, I know it comes from a place of, like, betrayal and hurt from their people, because, like, they are ostracized as well and put in these camps and stuff. And I'm sure that they probably feel like left behind, like Reiner's mom says in the episode, like they mm-hmm. they left us. They don't deserve to be like treated as humans. You know, they're the devils. They left.
Yeah,
us. They
exactly. Went to the island. Exactly. It comes from a place of ignorance, you know, yeah. of mm-hmm. Arguably brainwashing.
Yeah. I just, yeah. I get it, but I don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
I get where they're coming from. I get that, like, they've been told certain things, and everyone in this entire series has been told very specific things to, I don't know, what do you call it, to, like, move puzzle pieces around and, like, get people to do things for a specific goal. But, mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's hard for me to like Reiner.
Yeah, I like Reiner a lot, and mm-hmm. His story, I think, is really powerful, and I think his story is more interesting than Aaron's story. Although I like Aaron's story as well.
Oh yeah, I don't think that Aaron's story is like prolific. Like obviously, Reiner has struggled his entire life.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting the way that Reiner, like the way that Reiner's backstory parallels his current situation, I think is really interesting. You know, he still totally buys into, like, the same way that he flips out at Falco on the train for insulting the Warrior Project, or like, you know, quote unquote insulting the Warrior Project, as it were. He flips out on Porco. In his backstory for roughly the same reasons, but we see how much his viewpoint has changed and matured, because when he flips out on Porco, he really means it and he's really earnest about it. And that kind of goes to show, you know, as they point out in that scene, Reiner's only real positive trait is his undying loyalty. The fact that he's, you know, the most brainwashed out of all of them. You know, everyone else is more technically skilled, but nobody is more devoted than Reiner. But that devotion is more or less brainwashing. I feel weird calling it brainwashing, because I wouldn't say that it is actually brainwashing. It's not like the government like sat them down on a machine and gave them the electroshock therapy, but it's like it's social conditioning, mm-hmm. you know. And then we see Reiner on the train in season 4, and we see how much he has grown and changed from his experiences, because now, you know, he on the surface level still acts in the same way, but, you know, deeper down, he sees how, you know, the Paradise Island Eldians are not all that bad. And he sees the inherent hypocrisies and the bleakness of the Warrior Project. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's a really tremendous growth. And in the same way that Porco's older brother, no, Marcel's older brother, who's the guy that gets eaten, the first Jaws Titan?
That was Porco, right?
It was Marcel.
Yeah,
okay. I think it was Marcel. The same way. Yeah, the same way Marcel goes out of his way to protect Porco, and at the time, Reiner is like, why, like, how is that protecting your brother? Why would you deny him the glory of being in the Warrior Project? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, he just sees this disconnect. But, you know, by season 4, Reiner is all grown up, and now he is also trying to protect Gabby, and encouraging Falco to protect Gabby from the Warrior Project. You know, he's kind of taken upon the same mentality that Marcel had at that time. It's real interesting. And I think watching Reiner suffer from the level of cognitive dissonance and split personalities. It's brutal. It's brutal stuff. The suicide scene, I think, is really provocative, and yeah, it's emotionally heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this side of the story is a lot more, for lack of a better word, realistic. Like, it's darker.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was like more of an, it felt like an anime, like a little over, much more over the top. But like now you're in this village and it feels very like, you know, it feels very World War II and sort of oppressive and, mm-hmm. and just bleak, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not fun. There's nothing yeah. really that there's not, yeah. it's not fun, but it's more, it's like more, you can bite into this story on a, you can talk more about it, I think. Like, yeah. I really do feel like Aaron is sort of a boring, like you said this already, sort of a boring character, mm-hmm. you know. But it will be interesting to see where it goes after this. And I was wondering why Annie was tracking Kenny. Is that
so?
Is that explained?
Yeah, it is not explained explicitly in the anime nor in the manga. But the idea, of course, is that they're researching the founding type. They're trying to figure out who is the king behind the walls, and thus where is the founding titan. And that investigation has led them to Kenny, because at that point, Kenny would have been the king's right-hand man and his like protector, his bodyguard. So we can kind of take from this that Annie's close, and she may or may not realize how close she is, right. but she is close. That's why she confronts Kenny. But Kenny, of course, a sharp dude, he's an Ackerman, he's on top of this shit, and so Annie's got to quickly get away.
Okay, so it's just kind of inferred, or
yeah okay. So that is close to one of the scenes that I read about online that I didn't, this did not occur to me when I watched it, but I saw this online and thought it was very interesting. Bert Holt sleeping, which is something that comes up in season one and in season two. They remark that Bert Holt sleeps in weird positions, weird postures, mm-hmm. and everybody finds this comical. And in this episode, we finally see Bert Holt sleeping in a weird way, and everyone is jokingly commentating about it and trying to decide what that means for the weather. Apparently, Bert Holt is sleeping in the hanged man position, and he's in a reversed hanged man. And when the hanged man tarot card is reversed, it symbolizes an unwillingness to make an effort, false prophecy, and useless sacrifice, which kind of fits with Bert Holt's story as a whole. You know, his trip to paradise, you know, the warrior mission was kind of a useless sacrifice, and Bert Holt is constantly being chastised by Reiner for being unwilling to, you know, commit himself to take initiative to make the kind of effort necessary. So I thought, wow, it's deep. That's
very interesting.
Very, yeah, it's deep.
Deep. Yeah. I meant to look into that pose posture. I'm like, it can't just be ambiguous or arbitrary, you know.
Yeah, I gotta give the Mr. Isayama more credit than I actually give him, because that was kind of a nice, interesting tidbit right there. That's cool.
And guys, the guy with the armband on the wrong arm was fucking Aaron. Hell yeah, mm-hmm. baby. Mm-hmm. I knew he was someone. He looks homeless now, so he doesn't really look like Aaron, but
yeah, he's definitely giving some, like, you know, when he's talking with Falco, I think he's definitely giving some, like, hey, you're cool, don't go to school tomorrow kind of vibes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He's like Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like the fact that he saves Reiner. Well, you know, he's about to kill himself and bangs on the wall. You know, coincidentally stops him from pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a reason for me to live.
Brings Reiner back, yeah.
Oh, that's Falco.
Falco, yeah.
Yeah.
Down on his luck, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, Annie crushing the grasshopper. Is that a sign of Annie as a sociopath, or is that another? So, and I say this because I like briefly saw somebody talking about this online, but I didn't read the whole thing. Is that a callback to season one, Mikasa stabbing the thugs, the bandits in her house? And wasn't there also some kind of nature imagery around that, where it's like the cruelness of the world and how you have to proactively, you know, get your hands dirty in order to survive?
Sure.
Yeah. Or, you know, similar to holding a magnifying glass up to an ant just to see what would happen, you know?
Yeah.
Just because you have that power.
Well, and that's
Thank
what
God.
And that's what the Titans are doing to people on Paradise Island.
Yeah, and I think this episode is also quite interesting for Annie for those reasons, because we really see Annie as this, like, you know, kind of a sociopath, but also when Annie's beating the shit out of Reiner and she's like, you know, all you Eldians here, Eldians there, the Marlians, everyone's the same. They only care about themselves. And you know, well, fuck you. I'd only care about myself too. And we see this very cynical Annie, and I get that Annie has been cynical this whole time. You know, she has an aloof personality, but I guess it's interesting that even as a young child, even before having to do the double agent type stuff, she's still like just mad at the world and cynical about the people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever guys ever watched Killing Eve.
No, not familiar with it.
Mm-mm.
There's a character in there that's sort of a sociopath. Well, she is a sociopath. She just like, she's an assassin for hire. She goes around the world and kills people. But yeah, she just she can't love anyone, or she can't get close to anyone. Yeah, Villanelle is the character's name. Also blonde. And very attractive.
Fuck, I want her to mentally abuse me.
So yeah, the theme of this episode for me is that basically Aaron and Reiner are more or less the same person. That's kind of my overall takeaway. And you got to keep moving forward. They're both the same. They're both the same in that regard. They're not willing to stop by any means necessary. They got to continue and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we do see a lot of, I think Aaron and Reiner have come from very different paths, but yeah, both of them, it's a struggle, you know, the belief that there's no other option but to keep moving forward, you know, once you've commit to a path, you have to keep traversing it.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to point out the sequence of scenes where Reiner's in the parade, then Reiner confronts his dad, then Reiner's on the boat going to paradise. I thought the way that those scenes transition to each other, these like kind of sharp cuts where Reiner's in like, he's like standing in the, he's like looking at the door in the parade. Then they zoom up on the door. Then he opens the door and he's walking in to confront his dad. Then his dad is like, fuck you, buddy. And then zooms in on Reiner's face and he's real distraught. Then suddenly his face is illuminated and he's on the boat going to paradise. I thought that whole sequence was like really cool directing, in my opinion. I thought that looked really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty effective. Kind of shows you his, not humble beginnings, but sort of, I don't know.
I mean, it shows you his headspace where he was at when they finally get to paradise and, you know, they start running amok and killing people. You know, he's probably like super angry that his dad doesn't want to accept him.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think we needed it though. I was like, okay, we get it. Like, his dad left him. Like, his mom literally said that earlier. Like, do I need to see it? Okay.
Yeah, but it's different. Man, yeah. Different. Mom clearly believes that the only thing... I guess it's not clear that mom believes this, but mom never comes out and says, actually, your dad, you know, is this racist guy that fucking hates us. Reiner's got every reason to hold on to this hope that if only he could be accepted by Marlians as a whole, and his dad is a Marlian, therefore he'll be accepted by his dad. But yeah, it's just never going to happen, you know. Won't happen in a world where everybody hates the Eldians.
Yeah. I think I feel like he was raised by like a delusional parent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So much like the second episode, I feel more or less the same ending wise. I'm like feeling satisfied. I feel you, Amelia, but
like they just keep introducing so many things. Like, what happened to the Tibber family? Why can't I find out about them? What about the Warhammer Titan? Excuse me, you just told me this in this next last episode, and now I have to watch Reiner try and kill himself. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, but part of the charm is that you know they give you these pieces, and then the payoff is usually worth it. Mm-hmm. It's just that we can't binge it in one. You know, and I was saying earlier that it would be nice if these were hour-long episodes, possibly, maybe, you know, and maybe that wouldn't feel so painful to like wait for every
episode. So it just feels like I've been waiting, and I'm not getting any payoff yet. You know, like I'm getting a lot of information, but like nothing's paying off yet. And that's why I'm like, oh my god, can we hurry this up? I'm also an impatient person by nature, so I'm just like, let's go.
I guess when you say that, I have to imagine that the idea is that this information is the payoff in and of itself, because it forces you to recontextualize prior events. So it's supposed to be like an epiphany. Yeah. So I understand your complaint, Amelia.
Trying to think of a good example of this, another anime that they skip over this stuff, and it's for the TV adaption, and it's just like all plot and mostly action stuff scenes. You know what I mean? And then like years later they'll re-release it in the form that it was in a manga form, or that was truer to the manga form, like kind of like what Sailor Moon did with Crystal. Just the point that, you know, maybe there will be an abridged version or a movie version.
Like, everyone brings up movie versions. Why? I don't like that at all.
I mean, they've been doing it since anime was, I don't know, since the 70s, really.
Yeah, it's Gundam movies.
Oh my god.
It's part of the anime culture, I guess.
I don't like it.
Yeah. This is random, but I thought the soundtrack to the first scene in this episode was really dramatic for what was going on screen.
All of the soundtrack was so dramatic. Yeah, playing. It was like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, but what was going on screen was dramatic. In the first scene, it was just, you know, like Zeke looking out over the other young warriors, and everyone's just kind of arguing amongst themselves, but the music is like super high tension, super exciting, and I didn't feel like this was such a high tension, exciting scene. And I guess I understand that, you know, this is the emotion that they're trying to convey is like the franticness of Reiner and his desperation, but I'm not sure that was the most effective way of conveying that.
All right, guys, final thoughts.
10 out of 10. I will watch it again. I'm loving the final season. You got plenty to sink your teeth into. I like it.
Yeah. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was a really good episode. I'm with Dan. I guess I'm just a patient with this. I'm more patient with this show than I thought I would be. And I'm enjoying the character development.
Mm. I'm not gonna score it, but I'm hanging on by a thread, y'all.
Damn. Low score.
One of us has to, you know.
I have to have the unpopular opinion.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel the exact same way.
Yeah. I don't know. And I don't feel like it's MAPPA's fault. I don't feel like it's a different direction. I don't feel like it's because someone else is animating it and someone else is directing it. I just feel like it's like the series. I feel like it's the writing, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you like to see different? Just more action?
Yeah. I feel like it's just like giving you a lot of backstory of these characters, especially like characters that we've been with this whole time. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. Yes. And what's happening next? Like, what is the culmination of all of this? You know, we've gotten to see, I don't know where that sentence was going, but it ended.
Yeah. Well, I want to push back and just be like, yeah. And I think about the three seasons, we don't like as much as we see them in the beginning of the first season, we don't spend any time with Reiner or Berthold or Annie at all. Like, it's very limited comparatively to like Aaron and the main characters. So now that it's like going to flip and we're with these other characters, these other three characters. Yeah. It's a little like shocking in a way because you don't have your quote unquote heroes protagonist or, you know, yeah, but then it goes, begs you to different, like, well, who are the bad guys and who are the good guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I think is one of the more interesting questions of all this. But as you say that, Jeff, I guess Attack on Titan has developed a pattern of this, right? Cause season one is all about Aaron, Mikasa and Armin. And then season two really zooms in on Historia and Ymir. And season three, now we're really digging into Reiner and arguably Berthold and Annie as well. Mm. But I would say this is a good thing. Personally, I think Attack on Titan does much better for having this, you know, intricately constructed and larger scale world. I think it would have been less interesting if it was just the exciting adventure story of Aaron and his friends.
Do you think you'd feel the same way if you didn't read the manga?
Yes.
Okay.
If I hadn't already read the manga, I would be doing it literally right now. Because this is so fucking interesting to me. I really want to know more about it.
Well, time will tell.
Maybe this I is can not tell your season. You feel exactly the opposite, Amelia.
Yeah, do you judge?
You know, maybe I'm just going to pretend the fourth phrase? Season do doesn't judge? Exist.
Oh, shit.
I also like to pretend that the last season of High School DD doesn't exist. So, all right, guys. Well, that's the show. Check us out every Wednesday where we talk on the Titan over here on the road to paradise.
Amelia is going to continue to attack the Titan.
I am. I'm attacking this fucking Titan. Give me some action. Where my boys at? and don't forget to join the Discord and talk to us about Attack on Titan or any other anime or what you had for dinner. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Peace.
See you.